Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. With me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Doing great, brother.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I am blessed more than I should be.
Amen to that. I know Tony, but no, no, praise the Lord. And guys, we are really excited about this subject, as we are with a lot of subjects, but one of the things we wanted to discuss is what's going on in Hong Kong. And I thought maybe giving a little background before we get to the question of somebody who's actually there. We have a brother in Christ named Jason Bramble, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, who lives out there, actually. And he's been kind of updating us on some of the stuff that's going on in his area. And he actually sent us some videos of the protesters singing. And he sent us probably like four different videos and corrected some stuff that he saw online that people had posted. And we had posted about it. And we ended up actually posting his videos on a link that we had there. And then last week on the 5:11 News, or 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, we discussed Hong Kong a little bit because of what was going on in China with Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Rockets, posting in support of the Hong Kong protesters, and LeBron James saying he was ignorant of the subject and he should not have posted that, and then later changing that to he was just ignorant of the consequences and stuff that was going on. So I wanted to give a little background before we get into Jason's question, because it is important for us to understand what's going on. And if you guys haven't heard what's going on in Hong Kong, it's been going on for quite a while now. And we have what we have in Hong Kong are protesters, and a lot of which, by the way, are our Christian brethren protesting what's going on, because in Hong Kong, they actually have what is called a two system. Okay, 50 years ago, when Hong Kong was handed back over from the British, basically what they wanted is to have two systems where they were within the communist regime of China, okay? They had their own legislative system, and this 50-year deal was signed in 1997, and that would give them their own laws, so to speak. But the problem is China is infringing on that. And the communist Chinese government has literally gone in and to bookstores and grabbed people out of them who wrote things against communism or China. And now what they have had on the books, which is a extradition law. So they would be able to extradite quote unquote criminals from Hong Kong and then try them in China. And obviously, the Hong Kong citizens see this as a giant overreach, and they're worried about the police state that would take place. And guys, a lot of these guys are believers. There are brothers in Christ that do have these churches, and if these churches aren't run like the Chinese communist government wants them run, that's going to be a problem, okay? So when we look at this scenario, we see the situation going on, we see how vital it is, one, for us to, guys, if anything that would do for you is pray for our brothers and sisters in China, in Hong Kong, those in the underground church, those in the real churches that, guys, are protesting against what's going on. So we had a question that was asked to us because, hey, they're protesting all this stuff. What's going on is, according to our friend Jason, is this those in Chinese communist China are coming against public prayer. They're coming against the protesters saying you guys are disobeying to scripture. And this is what he had to say. He said, hey, Good Fight, I was wondering if you guys had any teachings out on the misuse of Romans 13. Hong Kong citizens went out to pray last night, and now the CCP, the Communist China Party, hardliners are trying to cite Romans 13 for reason why they should not be able to assemble to pray. He says, I know that they've been misused by Hitler and others, and I want you to articulate it for us. So, Joe, do you think that the Communist China Party is using the scripture in Romans 13 properly and contextually to the protesters here?
Yeah, well, you know, Romans chapter 13 clearly tells us that we're to obey the laws of the land, you know, and that God has established government. If you isolate a passage or a verse and you ignore the other passages, you'll get out of balance real quick. So, but at the same time, you want to make sure you don't explain away the meaning of a passage by the misuse of another passage. So that's not proper hermeneutics. When you look at Romans chapter 13, it's really clear. I knew as a new Christian, I had to work my way through understanding even the Revolutionary War in light of Romans 13. The Tories, of course, were those professing Christians during the time of the Revolutionary War that were saying, hey, we should, you know, you guys need to obey the government. You know, if, you know, that happened in the context that many people wanted to, we'd still be British right now, you know? Anyway, it's interesting, though, because as I looked at the scripture and I looked at war and I looked at pacifism, I looked at what some of the, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses are total. They go to Romans 13 and, you know, it's just interesting because you have two extremes without getting all into minutia of how different people interpret it, because we'll run off in a rabbit trail. But I just want to say this is we do know from scripture that we're called to obey the governing leaders. I think a really good place to go is the book of Acts, because there you see the Apostle Paul. Keep in mind, you might say, well, yeah, it's harder today. Man, you realize, you know, if you pay your taxes, you know, some of our taxes are abused and misused and so forth. Do you realize where the tax money went in Paul's day? It went to crucify Jesus. It was used to string up, or I should say, turn Christians into torches in Nero's garden. There was a lot of things wrong with the Roman government. And yet Paul tells us in the book of Romans to obey the governing authorities. However, when you look at the book of Acts, you see a respect for governing authorities, and Paul practiced what he preached. However, you also see that when governing authority tells you to do something that's contrary to God's will, you always obey God's will over man's will. His will, God's will trumps man's will and man's edicts every time. And you could go back and you could read, you know, the book of Esther, or you could read the book of Daniel, you know, when they wouldn't bow down and worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar, that was made of Nebuchadnezzar and so forth, and the on and on and on. But in the book of Acts itself, when you read chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Acts, they were preaching the gospel constantly in disobedience to the governing authorities, whether they were local, you know, Jewish authorities or whether they were Roman authorities. You guys remember when they were kicked out of one city after they were severely beaten and flogged, and they left the city and they said, better to obey God than man. And I love it. They went right back in there and preached again. And most of the apostles were killed. And there were several waves of persecution. Sometimes we, you know, view early church history as just constant persecution, but there wasn't constant persecution. There was times where Christians were able to share their faith. Sometimes it was a confiscation of scripture. Sometimes it meant your life. And there were definitely waves of persecution that brought death. But the early Christians, they were salt and light. You don't see them, you know, it's where you draw the line is another thing. And I really believe that, you know, this brother here, sincere brother in Hong Kong, sees a lot more clearly than we do, you know, as far as what's going on there. So he would probably, you know, be able to seek the Lord on the issue as far as what a protest for a Christian might look like. I personally believe that if we're called not to read our Bibles, read our Bibles. We're called not to fellowship, we still fellowship. We're told not to worship Jesus, we still worship Jesus. And on and on and on. So if there are laws that are made whereby we have to take the mark of the beast eventually, right? I mean, that's going to be a worldwide, you know, every nation, kindred, and tongue will worship the beast, and you have to take the mark of the beast, the name of the beast, the number of his name, just 666, on your right hand or your forehead. Do you take it? Absolutely not. And I don't care what some of these teachers, John MacArthur and Tim LaHaye in the past and many others have said that you could take it and just repent later. That's a false teaching. So you'll be damned if you take that mark. It's very clear, and people won't repent later, it says in Revelation chapter 16, after they take it. So it's a false idea. But what I'm saying here is that when it comes to, you know, I can see, you know, just like Hitler or just like the Tories, just like what's happening in Hong Kong, as this brother reports, where they're using that scripture saying, hey, just do exactly what the government tells you to say, because yeah, Romans 13 even says this, you can't pray. That's breaking the scripture.
Yeah, amen.
You know? So, but at the same time, we have to be careful, because there's also many rebellious Christians who ignore Romans 13. And therefore, they don't allow God to have any authority over their lives, because our flesh is rebellious. So we have to make sure we don't just sidestep Romans 13. We have to make sure that what we're disobeying is because we're putting God's word before man. You can't say, yeah, I know, you know, the speed limit, you know, is 70 miles an hour down this freeway, and to the cop, I'm going 105 because, you know what, God just put on my heart that I can go fast.
I'm under grace.
You
know?
Yeah, you better be able to script.
I'm not right? under law, I'm under grace.
Yeah, amen, right? You better be able to, you know, quote, you know, chapter verse, you know, if you're really going to have any authority, because God's word is our authority. And, you know, it's interesting with the extradition law, which was imposed at the beginning of this year. It was a new law that you're able to extradite, you know, criminals and criminals from China's viewpoint, and Hong Kong acting in more and more as their proxy, China having authority over Hong Kong. In China, that's criminals. Criminals are Christians, you know,
yep.
that are spreading the gospel. You can worship at the state church, but you can't evangelize, so you're not really able to follow true Christianity there without, you know, reprisals and without, you know, being imprisoned. So when it comes to extradition laws, the Hong Kongians, you know, the Hong Kongians knew, because it's been around for some time, that there were five different bookstore owners that just disappeared. Just, they were gone. Where'd they go? They disappeared. And sometime later, guess what what happened? They appeared in Chinese prisons. So obviously, if you're, you know, in Hong Kong, you understand that these extradition laws can be used against political opponents, can be used against Christians to extradite them in China, yep. where it's easier to snuff their lives out or to imprison them. So I totally understand the heart of many of the Christians there in Hong Kong that are seeking to protest. So, and at the same time, some would say, and you know what, I understand this use of argumentation because I use it to a degree as well. You don't see Paul, you know, and the apostles protesting before Caesar's palace, we can say. We see them spreading the gospel. So our main thing should be to spread the gospel. But in answer to that, in response to, you know, I would say this, we don't see them because that would mean they would lose their heads. And they would be able to spread the gospel.
That's true.
They're in a certain form of government there. We just didn't lend itself to freedom of speech like that, you know? If you're in a democracy where our voice matters and you don't cry out for the young, you know?
Amen.
When you read Proverbs chapter 24, I think what's verse 16 or so, it talks about that we'll have to answer if we don't stand up for those who can't speak up for themselves, you know? So we're able in this case in our country. And I do believe also when it comes to the killing the innocent, even if you can't speak up legally, you ought to speak up. So I'm just saying, what hill are you going to die on? And what happened with the early Christians, they died on Calvary Hill with Jesus, so to speak. They died as a witness for the gospel. So we need to make sure our main motivation is not to get our eyes off of the gospel, keep our eyes on Jesus, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But we also need to speak prophetically to the state because we're called to be salt. We're called to be light. We're called to be living epistles. And God also, in his word, speaks against the destruction of the innocent and social injustices from a biblical vantage point. We should be involved, biblically speaking, under the gospel, under the heading of Jesus, in standing up for what he says is socially right and what he says is against what he says is socially wrong. So here in the United States, it's so easy to speak up and speak our minds about the killing of the unborn. And, you know, we just went to a CPC, Crisis Pregnancy Clinic banquet. We had four tables this last last week. And out of many of the tables that were there, Brother Christians, it's great to see our brothers and sisters all there in unity, standing up for life, you know? Because my heart breaks when I look back at what happened to the Jews in Nazi Germany. It's like, where were most of the Christians? And I don't want that to be able to be said of us. We need to be standing up for these babies, you know? So there's many things we could do. I think 1 Timothy 2 is huge because in 1 Timothy 2, we're exhorted by the Apostle Paul to pray for those who are leading us,
yep.
the governing leaders, those who are in authority. And Paul was under the rule of Nero at that time. He's basically saying, pray for Nero and all these guys. He goes, because he wants the gospel to be spread peacefully. So let's not put protest before prayer. Let's put seeking first the kingdom of God first. Let's put prayer right there. And then peaceful protest. If you're going doing evil, thinking that good may come,
amen.
That's contrary to Scripture, you know? So Christians that are involved in peaceful protests, which many Christians are there, by the way. There's many Christians in Hong Kong. Somebody just played a clip for me about a week ago. It was beautiful. It looked like thousands of professing Christians singing, you know, sing hallelujah to the Lord. And just, it's beautiful, man. One of the first songs I learned as a Christian. And I was just like, wow, that's beautiful. So and the extradition law, by the way, was taken off yesterday. So they got rid of the extradition. What was it? Lamb had, I think, a month before that or so, had come out and said, yeah, we're going to strike that law from the books. We're not going to extradite.
That's good, anymore. Yeah, because they had suspended it in June, and they thought, oh, this will keep the protesters down. They're like, no, you'll just bring it up when no one else is paying attention.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And once they quell everything, right? So yesterday, they actually formally took it off the books, which is great, you know? Now, there was five demands being made, you know? And one of those demands is, you know, free elections and representation and everything else, which doesn't seem like the government's budgeting at all right there. But we can't underestimate the power of prayer. But think of what happened with Christians that stood up against the abolitionists, you know, whether it was preaching like John Wesley or in politics, Wilberforce. I'm one of those, I'm a strong believer that we have to be very, very careful that we don't put political means above prayer and above preaching the gospel. But at the same time, I understand that God uses people to influence people politically at times, whether it was God influencing Cyrus to bring the Jews back into the promised land, or it was Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar, whether it was Joseph in Pharaoh's court. So I don't believe it's a either-or situation with politics. I believe there's far too many Christians that are way more political than they are spiritual.
It's ugly, man.
I was thinking of that saying today that, you know, you could be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. And the most heavenly minded person I could ever think of is Jesus. And he was the most earthly good person ever. I mean, he gave his life for us. He redeemed us through his blood. So we need to be more heavenly minded. But I was thinking, I kind of did a little play on words on that in my mind. And I just wrote down, you know, sometimes we can be too politically minded to be any heavenly good. And I think there are millions of Christians listening to talking heads, political talking heads that don't know Jesus for several hours a week and not in the scripture and not witnessing and not bringing people to Jesus. Instead, they're getting frustrated because when you listen to these non-believing talking heads go off for hours upon hours upon hours. And, you know, I'm guilty of this too, to a degree, because I'll drive down the road and I want to hear what's going on. And I like to hear from different vantage points. I like to hear what the enemy has to say. Believe it or not, I even turn on MSNBC and CNN once in a while. And I try not to throw up, you know, try not to vomit, because it's just so often so wicked and so twisted. But I want to know what the enemy's saying. And I also see what conservatives are saying that don't really necessarily know Jesus. As I'm getting the news, I'm driving or what have you, and I look at it from a Christian filter, specifically through a biblical worldview. But I see, this is the problem, I see some of these guys are very skilled in their rhetorical skills and what have you, and speaking and having pretty good insights and a lot of good points to make politically. But at the end of the day, if you're traveling with them in your life, you're going to share their anxieties because they don't have any hope. You're going to be conforming to their viewpoints in many ways, possibly, and you're going to be trying to fight everything politically rather than spiritually. That's why you need to make sure that, you know, your podcasts and things that you listen to aren't secular so much, right? That you're plugged into the Word of God, that you're being inspired to be a witness, to be an evangelist, to take care of the poor from the standpoint of what Jesus taught, to love and help those who are dying and don't have help, the unborn, and stand up for marriage and so forth, but from a biblical standpoint. Because what's happened, even if you look at the Republican Party, you know, even Trump, you know, he came out, and I know we're going to be dealing with Paula White next, you know, but she was his main spiritual advisor. She believes that we are gods, we are Elohim. She believes that, you know, Jesus died to make us rich. You know, she believes all these heresies that are unbiblical.
Husbands and wives should watch porn.
Yeah, that's what they taught, right? Yeah, that's what she taught.
Jonathan Cannon.
And that's his you know, and part of his platform. I mean, he had a guy speaking up that for, you know, gay marriage was when he first came out to become president. That was part of his platform. So Christians can't confuse him with true Christianity. And what I see happening in the United States today is we're becoming so politically minded, we're becoming less and less heavenly minded and earthly good with regard to the kingdom and the main thing that we've been called to. We've been called to win the lost. We've been called to make disciples, you know. And what's happening is we start worrying about, you know, the politics so much. When I'm not, keep in mind, I'm not saying either or. I'm saying seek first the kingdom, seek first Jesus, make sure you're a light for Jesus, make sure you're preaching the gospel, make sure you're praying for the lost people around you. And then guess what? Praise God, if it can help by a number of people gathering together and praying and protesting something in a peaceful way to bring attention, or writing a letter to a politician, can all of a sudden help change a law that can bless people and maybe keep some babies alive, I'm all for that too. What I'm saying is, think about this. Jesus says, if my kingdom was of this world, then my servants would fight. But my kingdom is not of this world. The Bible says that we are citizens of heaven. The Bible says, don't mind earthly things, but heavenly things. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not bombs and missiles, not carnal things. It says, but mighty things, mighty through God, to the spiritual things, to the pulling down of strongholds and casting out imaginations and bringing a captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Paul says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That's the war we're in. So I want to make sure our brothers and sisters know that we better be involved in that spiritual war, because guess what? You could be hijacked by the enemy in a way that seems like, wow, I'm doing right. And all of a sudden you realize at the end of your life, you haven't witnessed anybody. You've just, you know, been involved in a, and I'm not saying some people aren't called to get involved in the political arena. Thank God for those true, genuine Christians who have, God has called to be a light or salt in that kind of way. But I think far too many people are going that route, spinning their wheels, not getting a lot done politically when they could be serving Christ by evangelizing for the Lord.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's funny, you know, that they would come out and quote Romans 13 specifically on prayer. And that's what Jason was saying was going on when you think of Daniel, as you talked about earlier. And I think about that.
Praying like, 3 times a day.
How ridiculous it is. Like, you know, it's mind-boggling, and praise God for those guys in Hong Kong that were assembling to pray, and not the ones, and that's what...
We're not talking about the violent protests, though.
And that's pretty much been a lot of the propaganda that China put out, was they found these, you know, you got hundreds of thousands of people, right, doing these protests, and then there's, you know, maybe 1,000 people out of all them that did some bad things, and those are the ones that they throw up there. And I was telling a story that was really interesting to me, because back in high school, you know, we don't have enough time to talk about what happened in Tiananmen Square, but that, I mean, you're talking about thousands of people that were put to death there in China, to the point where it was like, even multiple countries condemn them for what they did, and it was seen on video. And I had somebody that I wrestled with in high school, and when that was taught as curriculum in our class, he walked out and said that never happened, because he was from China, and he was like, this never took place, this is a lie. Because in all honesty, if you ask a lot of people from there, they're against the Hong Kong protesters because they have been fed propaganda over and over again. And that's just a side point. But also I think of John the Baptist, right? What was he killed for? For calling out Herod, right? He was literally killed for that. He took his head.
That's right.
You know?
Speaking prophetically against the state. And that's what we want you to understand, is that if you say, we just preach the gospel, that's all we do, and we don't speak to the state at all, we don't speak prophetically that you need to repent, you need to get right, that's the other extreme.
Yeah.
I mean, here's an example today. I was reading today that a seasoned British doctor for 30 years, he lost his government job in Britain because after 3 decades, because he refused to renounce his Christian belief that gender is determined at birth.
Oh, wow.
You know? But check this out. The Obama administration had signed a law whereby doctors, even if they're Christians, they have to perform transgender operations.
Ugh.
But guess what? That got reversed. Another article related to that other one, actually. A federal court in Texas ruled Tuesday that doctors across the nation are not required to perform gender transition surgeries if they go against their medical judgment or religious beliefs. The decision by the U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor reversed a mandate from the Obama administration that required a doctor to perform gender transition procedures on any patient, including a child, even if the doctor believed the procedure could harm the patient or otherwise face penalties of and otherwise would face penalties and legal action. This is huge to me, guys. I'll tell you why. Because as I was reading, it says the rulings were in response to 2 lawsuits against transgender mandate filed by an association of over 19,000 health care professionals, 9 states, and several religious organizations. That law was changed to where now these thousands of Christian, professing Christian doctors don't have to perform, you know, transgender operations, because people stood up and they said, and we live in a society where you can do that. So my point is, I do believe that there, just as I said, and we just went to a CPC banquet, and we support more than one through the years, quite a few actually, crisis pregnancy clinics, because we want to fight for the unborn. And we have that opportunity. If we didn't have that opportunity, we'd still want to fight in some way. But at the same time, my only point is this, is let's make sure we keep Jesus front and center.
Amen. Amen. I think that's one of the biggest things. And like you said, and we could get into all the different social justice warriors out there. And it's sad because it's almost that's what they want to talk about. And you mentioned this from the conservative standpoint, where it's like, well, let me just yell at a mic for 3 hours on radio. And if you guys think just I have to put this out there, because you think you can sit there and listen to a commentator for 3 hours a day, every single day, and none of it is to the benefit of Christ, that's not going to have effect on you. And that's not typically, I'm going to be honest, because I have plenty of friends where I have their Twitter and their Facebook and all that stuff, and everything they post is typically political and how terrible these people are. And the fact is, we want to keep the focus where we want to keep it, on Jesus.
Yeah, because in the meantime, millions of souls are seeking down to hell.
Yeah, and Sean Hannity's not going to keep the focus on Jesus.
And we have to be careful too that we don't follow, and I encourage Jason, and he sounds like a really wise gentleman, but to make sure we don't allow a peaceful Christian protest to be led and hijacked and by the wicked, somebody who, because Satan loves to bring wolves in and exploit, you know, movements that are meant for good and turn it, you know, this mob rule, this you know, the spirit of Antichrist, this the spirit that works through the children of disobedience, so easily takes whole groups of people. And you got to have a lot of young people there in Hong Kong. And part of my heart is like, praise God, these guys are standing up, you know? Another part of me is like, Lord, protect them. Mm-hmm. You know, may they not be deceived like our young people were in the 60s, to where all of a sudden they were pushing a very licentious...
The
counterculture movement became what's running the nation, much of the nation
today. Those are your professors now.
Absolutely. They're in academia, and it's horrifying.
Yeah, and it's been such treachery here, you know, and we just think we're literally talking about this the day after, I believe it was midnight last night, we're recording a little early, but midnight last night, that Ireland just now has gay marriage and abortion. Now Ireland has accepted
just
this.
Just a few years ago, they didn't even have an abortion. Abortion was
so
illegal.
Where are we standing up? And make sure it's for the things that are biblical, you know, things that matter. And I believe, at least in this sense, for what I know about the Hong Kong situation, not wanting your pastor to be taken because he's evangelizing, and now in China they can now extradite him, take him, and throw him in prison. I have no problem with you guys taking those rights that you have as a Hong Kong citizen, as well as Joe mentioned,
and using
those rights to stand up biblically for something that matters in terms of the eternal destiny of other people.
And I'm glad Jason, you know, wrote in, because that inspires us to pray.
Think about it.
Pray
too.
For that more. In fact, let's end this program. Let's seek the Lord on the behalf of Hong Kong and all the nations. Father God, we come into your presence. We love you. We praise you. We glorify you. We honor you, Father. You are the awesome God, the creator, uncreated creator of all things. Father, we beseech you. We implore you. We cry out to you, Father, in your Son's name, that you'd have mercy on the citizens of Hong Kong, Father. We pray, Father, in your Son's name, that you would use whatever's going on there and all that's going on there, that you would overrule it, Father, and that all kinds of people would come to Jesus, that there would be a mass revival there where all kinds of young people come to Christ and come to know him as Lord and Savior, Father. And we also pray, Father, that you protect the pastors, that you protect the Christians that are there, Father, and the extraditions that were taking place and that they wanted more to take place. Father, we pray in your Son's name, even in private, secretly. We pray, Father, the lights would go on, Father.
Yes.
Cockroaches would flee, that you would rise up godly people, Father, to lead as much as possible, Lord. We know we're in the end times and things will get worse and worse throughout the world. But we know, Father, we have not because we ask not. And we do pray, Father, for light in Hong Kong and for China, Father. And the 10% of China, supposedly right around there being Christians, Father, were heavily persecuted. We pray for the church there as well and around the world. We pray for our leaders, Father, that they would fear you,
yes,
that they'd love you, that they'd kiss the Son, Father, and that they would tremble before you and as much as possible do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.